I had a fantastic time this weekend. How about you?
Yeah, you did a great job organizing that conference. It was, people came from all over. We had people there from Florida. You came in from California, folks. You came in from Georgia. You came in from
Australia.
It was an amazing time. People fought the traffic coming up on 94 and 294. And
God will reward them greatly in that day. And the suffering they had to go through for the evangel.
In that day, it will be much easier to travel, too. The best thing about the coming eon is there will be no orange barrels there.
No.
Or
no,
speed limits. Traffic accidents.
Yeah, none of those signs that say left lane closed 5 miles ahead. I hate those signs.
Or left lane closed for the next 500 miles, as is the case in Illinois.
Yeah, you know, in Illinois, the 294 is closed from the Indiana border to the Wisconsin border.
Indeed it is. Then you have to pay for that privilege.
Exactly. Now,
that's the insult, that you have to pay tolls to be on that hellish highway. And then they say, thank you for traveling the Illinois tollway, as if you had a choice.
Yeah, stick it in your left ear, buddy.
Yeah, thank you for traveling the Illinois tollway. It wasn't my choice. I didn't want to do it. You forced me. I couldn't get from point A to point B without your crazy tolls.
Man.
I'm sorry. I'm calm now.
That's right. Are there tolls in South Africa?
There are no tolls in South Africa.
But I do hear that we got a letter from South Africa.
I figured you were cueing me.
Yes.
We did. We have fans all over the world. We had a letter from Goswin.
Hey,
Goswin in South Africa. He says,
Goswin, do they have tolls there? That's what we want to know.
If not, we're coming down.
Yeah, it's closest to heaven we got yet.
Yeah, that's right. He says, we are a dangerous duo for regular orthodoxy. Keep on doing what you do.
What did he call us?
A dangerous duo.
Wow.
Now, the Batman and Robin were the dynamic duo, but no one even called Batman and Robin dangerous. So we are dangerous.
Who would be Batman? Who'd be Robin?
I'd
look better in the gray costume than you would. You'd look better in the yellow and red.
You think
one.
Me? You want me to be Robin with a big R?
Yeah, in the green tights. Those fit you.
All right, I'll be Robin.
Continue.
I will continue here. You're a dangerous duo for regular orthodoxy. Keep on doing what you do as long as it doesn't consume so much time and effort that your family or your relationship with God suffered.
Good point, buddy. Thanks.
Yes,
thanks.
Greetings to one and all. Bring it on. Fill the airwaves and the World Wide Web with the truth, and know that your work matters big time, no matter how many miles away. Greetings and blessings to you both, Goswin.
Wow.
From South Africa.
That was good. That was good. Very informative. I mean, he sounds like an intelligent guy.
Well, he has to be because he likes our show.
I don't know about that. Speaking of the dynamic duo,
yes.
What are we called again?
The dangerous duo.
Dangerous duo. You ever see those Viagra commercials?
No. I don't watch television.
Well,
tell me all about it.
You know what Viagra is, don't you?
Yes.
Okay, I'm sure most of you do. You know, there is holy Viagra in the scriptures. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about holy Viagra.
So this is why you wouldn't tell me ahead of time what we were talking about.
No, not really. I just thought that we'd do this, you know.
Okay. Well, why not?
We've been talking about justification on this program, and there is an example in the scriptures that Paul gives to us of a man who is justified, and it happens to be related to Viagra. Who would have thought that little blue pill... And the greatest message that God has ever committed to the sons of humanity are connected.
How do you know it's blue?
You see the commercial.
Oh, okay. Well, I haven't seen
it. You see the commercial.
You see the commercials, right. Who would have thought it? Who would have thought? Could I look up Viagra in my concordance?
No, you can't.
I won't find it there?
Well, there's a very...
Or is it a Greek
word?
There
is a word called invigorated in the concordant New Testament. And I want to talk a little bit more about justification, and because... It's important. I know we had one of our listeners write us an email where somebody said that justification only basically gets you off the ground. In other words, God gives you, he justifies you, but that's really just kind of like putting you at the starting line. Now the rest of the race is yours.
Yeah, this woman wrote and said justification gives you the opportunity. It doesn't really make you righteous. It just kind of...
And I only have one thing to say about that teaching is...
Ooh.
That's it. It's really bad. And for somebody to teach that God is basically a probation officer, and he's not. God did not justify us as a probation officer. I mean, the term justification and on probation they can't. You don't put a guy on probation who is clear of all guilt.
Well, you know, I think people are seeing, I don't want to get you off the Viagra track, but people are seeing the verses in Scripture that exhort us to do things, to not sin, to do right acts, and we do exhort one another to do the right thing.
That's different.
People need to understand why it's different, because people look at this and they go, well, look, we must not be righteous yet, because even Paul, the evangelist of grace, is exhorting us to do the right things
exactly.
And to walk.
There is a standard of living. God has a standard for us to follow. He's written it down for us. But living up to the standard is not justification. That's the process of our holiness. And even our holiness is positionally
ours.
So
you're talking about the difference between, I hate these theological terms almost, justification and sanctification.
Yeah, sanctification.
Okay, go ahead. I don't like the word sanctification.
Let's just put it this way. We need to, first of all, we need to get something settled here. Every individual listening to us has to understand this. Because if they don't see what God has made Christ to be for them, positionally, they will never have the right walk. You need to know who you are in Christ. I even hate saying that term because I hear it so often. It almost sounds, you know, but it's a true statement. You need to know who you are in Christ before you start living a life in Christ. You know what I'm saying? In other words, just take the book of Romans, for instance. He takes 11 chapters to teach the truth concerning justification in Romans 3, 4, and 5. Concerning holiness or sanctification, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Concerning God's present dealings with Israel, Romans 9, 10, and 11. That is the great foundation of Christianity, for lack of a better term. That's what we have. That's the foundation. And it's not until you get to the 12th chapter that Paul says, now therefore I beseech you to present your bodies a living sacrifice. That's what you were just talking about.
You're right.
Getting out and doing, you know, and living a life and living up to standards. But before we do that, we must understand what went before.
I heard you say something at a conference in Ludington. I thought it was one of the best things I ever heard on this topic. You say that we, as members of the body of Christ, we start at the place where Christianity is working toward.
Yeah, what
elaborate on that, because that really makes a lot of sense.
Well, what and I think if I remember, and I've said this before, that what Christianity has for its starting point, religion has for its goal.
True Christian. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about
use that word Christianity. That makes me nervous. That reminds me of the religion.
Believers in Christ have for their starting point what religious folk have for their goal. Religious people are trying to do something to get to please God, to get to heaven, as it were. They think that they have to do certain things in life to get to a point where God can accept them.
Yes.
Believers in Christ already have full acceptance. They're in Christ, and you can't get a better position than that. We start there.
Yeah, so think of those poor people who go their whole lives getting to the point, maybe through their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, they're finally getting to they want to get to that point where we're accepted by God, and we start there.
Yes.
The second we believe in the finished work of Christ, that's where we start. Think of the growth that happens when God graciously grants you to start there the moment you believe.
Yeah.
I mean, I really feel for some of those people who labor all that time trying to get to where we started on minute one
of
our faith.
And this is the verse. We
can't
emphasize this passage enough. Romans chapter 3, and I suggest everyone listening to us today, go home, and if you're driving or at your home, take some time today. Open up Romans chapter 3 and read these verses, and just these verses alone. Ask God to teach you Romans 3:21-28. Those verses right there are the foundation. That is the rock-solid foundation of believers in Christ.
I love it when you say that, because that just puts everything in a nice, tight package. There's seven verses. If you don't read anything else in the Bible, get this.
Because this is where he's... And let me show you what went before those verses, okay? We're going to get to the Viagra.
Oh, I want to get to something else, too. Okay,
we're
going
to get to the Viagra.
We're
going to
get to the Viagra, and we have to make sure we define our terms, because we threw out justification and sanctification, and we have to define sanctification. I just want to put that as an earmark.
Okay,
remember
no
that.
Problem. No problem.
All right, good.
Now, listen to what comes before those verses. It says, now we are aware. We have this awareness.
Where are you?
Romans 3:19-20.
3:19.
We are aware that whatever the law is saying, so anything the law says, now here the law is referring to the entire Hebrew Scripture, the Old Testament, specifically the Ten Commandments that God gave to Moses to give to the children of Israel. And remember, we don't despise the law here. We recognize the law is holy, the law is just, the law is good. There is only one God, and no images should be made because these are... But the whole law pointed to a problem. He says, whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law. Now, who's that?
That would be Israel.
That would be Israel. That every mouth may be barred, and the entire world may become subject to the just verdict of God. Now, I want you to think about this. How can something that only speaks to one nation... It only speaks to the Jews, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's speaking to those under the law, the Jews. How can something that speaks to only one nation bar the mouth of the entire world?
Because Israel was a, quote, test case,
yes.
Unquote. God set them up as an example of how flesh and blood is not able to please God.
Exactly. Now think about Israel for a minute.
I feel sorry for them being set up as an example.
Well,
like that.
It's true. But think about this. Here they were. These people were delivered by God out of slavery in Egypt. Right?
Yeah.
A pillar of cloud went before them by day, a pillar of fire by night. They built a tabernacle. God was in the midst of them. The priesthood was theirs. And whenever they had problems, all they do was go to the high priest who went before God using the Urim and the Thummim to get answers to questions. Can you imagine if you had a problem like where you just walk in and ask God personally, and God would tell you visibly and audibly exactly what he wanted you to do? They had these privileges.
And they complained all day long.
They complained constantly. They had all these privileges, and yet Israel as a whole, what happened to them? They went into captivity because they failed.
And this is a people don't realize this is a demonstration to all humanity.
That's the point. So it says, every mouth may be barred, and the entire world may become subject to the just verdict of God, because by works of law, here, notice it doesn't say the law, by works of law of any kind, no flesh at all shall be justified in his sight, for through law is the recognition of sin. You know what the word law means?
No, but you're about to tell me.
It means to aim. Aiming. You know what the word sin means?
Yeah, to miss the mark.
To miss. The law is something you aim at, but we all missed it. And if Israel missed it, it proves that we're all subject to the just verdict of God, so no one can do anything to save themselves. And then we got to get to Romans 3.
We still have to get to Viagra, don't we?
And Viagra is coming.
And I have to explain that about Israel's demonstration. You opened up a gigantic,
rich
vein of treasure.
It's
there.
It's Monday. I got all kinds of energy.
I know. Well,
living
I don't
the
know.
High of that conference.
I'm exhausted after the conference. Good
oh,
for you.
Man.
I'm glad you have energy.
Well, this is Dan Sheridan. You can find me. Oh, go ahead. Who are you?
No, I don't.
I interrupted you.
Well,
that
no,
was rude of me.
I want to hear who you are.
I am Dan Sheridan, and you can find me at paulsevangel.com.
I'm Martin Zender. Find me if you dare at martinzender.com.
Don't do it, folks. Don't do it.
Go to martinzender.com now.
My computer exploded.